Hey there, AfterBuzz TV fans. Welcome to another episode of Spotlight on here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Please, we are here tonight to talk to the wonderful and talented Sarah Coates. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I was going to tell my non-existent studio audience to give everyone a hand. Woo! I don't know what I was thinking there.
You guys let me pick the opening song, so.
Yes, and it's really hard not to be in a good mood when you hear this theme.
It's on Hulu now, so we're
That's
all
That's fantastic.
Good.
So yeah, opening question of the night, which golden girl are you?
I want to desperately be a Blanche, but I think I might be a Dorothy. So I'm just going to say Blanche.
Okay.
Because she's sassy and awesome.
Yeah, no, nobody dislikes Blanche.
Nobody dislikes Blanche. I want to be a Blanche, but I don't think I am. I think I'm too positive and I don't wear enough caftans.
Well, I mean, when you think about like what you want to be when you get to that age.
Oh,
like,
a Blanche.
Absolutely.
Or Sophia. I want to be sassy and old and grumpy.
Not care what anybody else says.
It's true. It's very, very true.
Yes. Well, hello, AfterBuzz TV fans. Welcome to another episode of Spotlight On. We have a fantastic guest with us tonight. Joining us here in the studio is the lovely and talented Sarah Coates. Yay. How are you doing tonight?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited to be back. And you brought me a pie.
I did. Oh my goodness. I was so excited when the, a little bit of behind the scenes here, folks, we get emails out when we get potential interviews, and when the email went out, I went, dibs on Sarah, dibs
on
Sarah.
I was hoping you would take dibs on me. I didn't expect a pie, but it makes my, I hope this becomes a running theme in my life. When I show up places, people are like, oh, we have this pie for you.
And you're like, yes.
Like, thank you. And I brought a fork. So
yeah, we've got plates and forks and knives and such over in the
Perfect.
Kitchen. So when we are all done, we shall partake. But yeah, we'll explain this to anybody who might not be familiar with the joke. But in the meantime, I'm your guys' host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I'm also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag Spotlight On in case you guys have any questions for our wonderful guest. Although I'm going to hog her all to myself. So don't be too disappointed if your questions don't get asked.
Good. Well, that's fine with me.
So yes, for those of you who might not know, this pie is in reference to the last time Sarah was a guest here at AfterBuzz. We had you on our lovely Z Nation after show, and you were kind enough to bring us a pie.
I brought you some pies, and I brought you those little zombie
finger
puppets.
Which made like a lovely little ornament right in the middle of the pie. So I did not decorate the pie as much, but I
stood in line at a grocery store.
I
and that's
waited
all I need.
And tapped my foot impatiently and checked my watch. And generally, my arms got tired. Mm. Yep.
Okay. I love it.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to... I'm not going to lie. I can't wait to dig into that.
And I just tasted the whipped cream, and it's delicious, so...
Yes. And we're going to talk about Pie Girl. But before we get into Z Nation, because once we get started, it might be difficult to stop. I want to go back to the beginning and ask, again, for people who might not have seen you on AfterBuzz for the last time, I want to ask, what was it initially that made you want to get into entertainment?
When I was a little kid, I think it would probably have to do with, like, I wanted to be everything. So when we would fill out the little things when you were in elementary school, it'd be like, what do you want to be? I was like, I want to work at Subway. I want to be a veterinarian. I want to drive a bus. I want to be a singer. I want to be a model. I want to do all these things.
It changed by the hour every day.
Absolutely. But then being a doctor or a vet takes a lot of school and a lot of study. So it was kind of just wanting to do everything and experience everything from a young age. And it took me a long time to realize that it was basically I just wanted to show other people's experiences, really dive into someone else and tell stories. It took a long time to figure out what that was.
So in terms of storytelling, whose type of storytelling do you think is most influential on your work?
I'm obsessed with comedians from the 80s. Your Shelley Longs, your Madeleine Kahns, your Lily Tomlins.
Flames on the side of my face.
The flames. Clue is one of, I remember watching it and saying, I want to do that. And I didn't know what that was. I was like, I want to do that. Or
solve mysteries?
Yeah, solve mysteries. And run around in a mansion.
Specifically murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we can go there. I love true crime.
So. Oh my goodness.
But then like at True Beverly Hills, I remember Shelley Long and her crazy outfits and just that entire movie. I never wanted to be one of the girls. I wanted to be Shelley Long. I wanted that long, weird cigarette. I wanted to just walk around like I own the place. And then, like, Overboard. I wanted to be Mary Kirk Douglas.
Goldie Hawn in that movie.
Goldie Hawn, yeah. So it's just, I think the biggest influence on me is those creative, funny women, strong women that aren't afraid to look crazy and ugly and weird.
And that's very interesting that you point to them as a specific source of inspiration and influence, because you yourself are an extremely comedic actress. And I want to, like, and comedy, the world of comedy is very different for women than it is for men.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever find that challenging? Like, when you said, oh, yeah, I want to make people laugh, did people go, I don't know, girls aren't funny?
Yeah, well, I get a lot of, when I go into auditions, for a long time, I got a lot of going in for hot bartender number 7, and they're like, wear a bra top and some jeans, and I was like, can I read for this funny guy part? And it just came to the point where I would ask, can I read for that too? Because I connect to it more. Actually, in Z Nation, I wasn't going to read for Serena, and I read the episode, and I was like, can I please read for this crazy person? Because it just popped into my mind who she was, really. So
the character was just there.
She was
fully
there.
Formed.
Oh, she was there. She was wearing overalls. She was ready to go. She was headstrong and
she
smart.
She had pie at the... She knew what she wanted, and she went after it.
That's my life motto.
So what sort of comedic training did you undergo in order to kind of prepare yourself for the world of comedy?
My mom, when I was little, we played so many, we did bits all the time. We'd do a lot of party quirk games. So she'd pretend to be the host, and we each had a little thing. They do it on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Aww.
That kind of thing. And I went to school, and I've been studying at UCB, so it's kind of, it's just an amalgam of all of those things. But I would say my brother and my mom were my top creative influences, just because we did so many funny, weird things growing up. And we played, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so we imagined these wonderful worlds. And it was, I don't know, it's incredible.
That's awesome. I'm just picturing you doing bits with your mom.
We'd have potholder fights. I remember, like, all the time, my mom would open the potholder drawer, because apparently she had tons, and just, like, throw them at each other and, like, dive behind the couch. And it was just a very, I remember growing up and thinking, how creative. Like, I remember looking at my mom and thinking, she's actually magic. Like, I thought she was a cartoon magic person that could create magic. And, you know, she's still that way to me. I don't see her as much anymore, but she lives up in Seattle. But she's still magic to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. So talking about Pie Girl.
Yes.
I imagine that most of you people watching are fans of Z Nation. But again, for anybody who hadn't seen our after show, how was it that you got to try out for the role?
Well, I was living in Seattle, and we knew not a lot of shows come through that area. So when Z Nation was picked up, everyone was like, please let me audition for their managers. And I had gone in a few times. I actually auditioned for Cassandra, and made it pretty far. But it didn't feel it, you know, and
that's a very subdued role.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pasay does an incredible job. But then we were told, hey, they're shooting this episode. Can you get to Spokane? And Spokane is 5 hours from Seattle. And I was like, absolutely. And I bought a plane ticket on my own, because I just knew that this is what I needed. And I flew there in one day, flew back. It was like a scene from an apocalyptic movie in the casting room, because there was no air conditioning.
No.
There were probably 60 to 70 people that were in this room, dirty, sweaty. It took 2 hours. I waited around. I went in and I was like, this is crazy. But it just was one of those feelings. I had a feeling. So that's kind of my Z Nation journey. But she was only supposed to be in one episode. And I think I just took the character and made it my own, and then they kept bringing her back and bringing her back.
I think part of that was that you did give her so much personality. Was it a plan from the, since she was only originally supposed to be in one episode, was it a plan to have that hook at the end where she does sort of look at her stomach and the implication is that she's pregnant? Was that originally in the plan, or is that something they added because they were like, we want her to come back?
I kind of think they added it because I don't remember reading it. And then the day of, they said, hey, grab your stomach. And I was like, oh, yep, sure, got it. So it was just something odd that they added. But then meeting Keith, who I love, who plays Murphy, the love interest of Serena and his baby daddy, we had so much fun, instant connection. We worked in his trailer and we're like, okay, this is so weird, but we're going to go for it and go really big because it's so gross. And he's like, go ahead, lick my chest. And I'm like, we'll lick your chest, sir. So that's kind of what happened.
Don't tell a comedian yes and, yes. Like, because it's just going to escalate from there.
I didn't know too, because he has Synapse makeup, does the makeup on him, and yeah, it's incredible.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Oh, and I licked
him with the makeup on.
I licked his whole stomach, and I came up, and I was like,
oh, no.
And it was just blue, and they had to, like, pour vodka on my tongue to get it off. And I was a little drunk the rest of the show. No, I'm just kidding.
So that's why your comedic performance is so energetic.
Alcohol.
It's the key to all comedy.
Yes.
But yeah, so it must have been really exciting then when they did tell you that she was coming back, not only for one episode, but a couple, and that she was actually on a mission.
It was really exciting, and the fact that she was pregnant, and that she had a sped up pregnancy, and that she was going to give birth. I was like, you are giving me gold. And that her birth is kind of like an animal birth. They were like, research animal births. And I was like, what? And they're like, because it's going to get crazy, and it's going to look like Jesus's birth, because there's going to be three wise men, and you're going to give birth in a barn. And I was like, I remember like tearing up. I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted.
This is everything I ever could have dreamed.
Oh, my God. Well, and Jen Derungsen was the writer of that episode, and she was like, I'm going to give her everything because Sarah won't say no, and she'll do it, so let's try. But I did lose my voice because I had a lot of screaming.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because we know that days on set can, you know, anywhere from like 12 to 14 hour days.
Oh, yeah.
And most of your scenes for those particular episodes were screaming at the top of your lungs, whether it was giving birth or firing off machine gun rounds or just hitting Russell or screaming at zombies to get away from your kid.
It's just kind of two registers. It's down here or like really
it's
high.
Really sweet or really not.
Funny fact is, in that episode, my brother and sister-in-law were both in that episode.
Were they zombies?
My brother was the tuba zombie, and then I kill my sister-in-law with the sheet machine gun. And then, like, when we're walking back up the trail, it's her dead body. And I whispered to her, I was like, I love you.
What?
Aww, that makes me happy. I was like, did I just hear that, or did everybody hear that?
Everybody heard that.
I worry sometimes.
Steve, you did make sure that our live stream could hear that too. That wasn't just for us, right?
I've been binge watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, so I'm just worried that, like, that's going to happen to me in my real life, where I'm like,
all of a sudden people will start singing and you're like, oh no, I've lost my grip on the real world.
Yeah. With a lot of the roles I do, I mean, I kind of feel like sometimes I'm losing my grip. But
well, the last time we had you on the after show, we talked about the possibility of Serena coming back in a possible flashback. And you mentioned that you would often pitch things to Carl.
Oh.
And lo and behold, you were able to come back for season 3.
And I think it's less of pitching things to him and more of annoying him enough. and like putting little birdies in people's ears so that like the internet's like, oh, this should happen. So it did. I came back in this hilarious flashback.
Queen Serena.
Oh my gosh. And it was like another dream. It was, we're going to do beauty makeup on you. You get to wear hair extensions. You get a cape. You get to dance. And it's kind of now like going to zombie summer camp. So like I go out. go over there, I get in my trailer and I open my door and it's all my friends, and then we like get to play for a little while, and then it makes me sad when I have to go back to my regular life. But so, you know, season 4 is coming up. It was picked up
for season 4.
We have fingers crossed. There's Lucy in the picture now, if you haven't.
Yeah, I wanted to ask on what you're thinking of the sort of direction that they've taken with Lucy's character, you know, accelerating her from a small child to a young woman very, very quickly.
Yeah, over like a very short period of time. I think every time she undergoes extreme stress, she ages, which is kind of what happens to me in regular life. I just keep going like, oh my God, what? But she keeps progressing in age. And a lot of theories on Twitter and a lot of those, you know, we've discussed in depth about maybe her, how, you know, any, we call it Z Nation science. Anything can happen on, yeah, Z Nation. So what if Lucy aged into her mom? And, and then one, I really want to be painted blue.
I was going to say, would you be okay with being painted blue for an extended period of time?
Yes. Those things, like, I want to have to get up at 2:30 in the morning to sit in a chair and be painted completely blue. And I was a huge Angel fan, and, like, I loved the makeup. I was always like, I want to wear funny, crazy prosthetics. But I would, it would be so cool to see that progression and where that goes. I think that's a weird dynamic and a fun dynamic, and people like it. And I think Z Nation really listens to people when they're like, hey, we want this to happen. And they're like, beep, boop, 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 boop. And then they make and they're it happen. Like,
that's interesting that you say that. But what I worry about with poor Lucy is, because she's aging at an accelerated rate, at what point does she stop being a young woman and start growing into somebody who's middle-aged, and then
a golden girl,
and then a golden girl, and then a Blanche.
Oh my God. I wish there
was. Are we talking about the potential of knocking out two dreams at once?
Yeah. You made my dreams come true. It just hit me that she could be a golden girl.
She could be a golden girl.
And they better not cast an older woman, because I also would like blue age makeup, Carl Schaefer, if you're watching.
We'll tweet at him right now. Is somebody live tweeting this? Because that would be fantastic.
Tell him, I need it. It's important.
If you guys want that, you guys know who to contact.
Oh my
God. The official Z Nation Twitter and Carl Schaefer, for sure.
That's just how I want to end up. The crazier, the better for me. I've never really felt like an ingenue. I like to play crazy, weird characters. I love, like, we haven't talked about it yet, but I just did the voice of Marguerite Baker in the Resident Evil.
Talking about crazy.
And it was just a completely different, and it was motion capture and voiceover, so I got to do both. Really diving into a different woman. This woman is in her 60s. She is from Mississippi. It's just, it's so exciting to be able to go from, you know, Serena, who's crazy and silly and giving birth to this, you know, 60-year-old woman who murders people.
Yeah, and not to mention that even though Serena is her own kind of brand of crazy, there's also a lot of warmth and genuine compassion there. With Marguerite,
there's none.
Used to be that way, but that not really factored into the performance, I imagine.
Well, there was a lot of screaming. I kind of feel like that's my shtick now. But what's really funny about that is, if we want to go into it, but I did not know what game I was filming for a year and a half.
Really?
Really. We signed so many non-disclosure agreements, and we weren't even told until way later. We knew, you know, our character's name, their backstory. We had a vocal coach. It was really in-depth. And then we were told way later. I wasn't there that day, so I actually found out weeks later than everyone else.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, wait, you guys know what game we're doing? And they're like, haha, Sarah. But
so when you were originally involved in the project, you kind of, I imagine you guys just thought this was a new original game, because the gameplay is so vastly different from every Resident Evil movie game that's come before it.
Yeah, and it's my first video game working. I've done motion capture work before, but like first, like really in depth working a lot on these characters. And, you know, we knew it was horror because of the nature of the script. We worked on that dinner scene that's in all the trailers for weeks before we actually filmed it.
Oh, my goodness.
And to get to know the family. And we worked in the same room with them. A lot of the time when you're doing voiceover, you never see your co-stars. And so
you're in a little box.
Yes. Kind of like this, if you just, like, shut me off. And there's always pie. But, and so we really got to do the scary and use our bodies, and it was really exciting, but we had no clue what it was. We knew it was a video game, but we thought maybe it's a brand new video game.
So, like, finding out weeks after everybody else must have been a little frustrating. Yes. Then.
Also, I kind of am glad, because my brother is a huge video game fan, and I would have told him. And I would have
so
told
it's
him.
It's probably better that you didn't.
Yes, yes. And he wouldn't have told anyone, and I would have never been in trouble, but I just, like, he's such a big fan that I had to, like, I can't tell anybody. So just don't tell me until I need to be able to tell. But and I bought him the game and sent it to him immediately, and he's like, I got to kill you.
Aww.
And
I was
like, full circle.
It's the easiest way to maintain an NDA. Just right? Don't know. No, don't tell
just
me.
Don't tell me anything. Right.
So, yeah, when you did find out it was Resident Evil, were you excited? Were you a fan of the game beforehand?
I'm a huge horror fan. So I've seen all the Resident Evil movies, and I wouldn't call myself a gamer, but I would call myself, like, a gamer adjacent, because I grew up with my brother and I would watch him play Contra, Donkey Kong Country, all of these games, and I watched it like it was a movie.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my experience. I know all the games. I'm the kind of person that when I play, I go like this when they jump, and then I get stuck in a corner and I'm like, this is not for me.
The first time I tried to play Halo, my older brother was lecturing me because I couldn't figure out how not to look at the ground.
No, yeah. I still can't. I do want to play myself and tape myself playing myself.
There's an entire industry around yes. that now.
So I want to do it. I want to actually, like, Sarah play against Marguerite.
You should totally do a Resident Evil X play. Like a Let's Play that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to figure out how to do that. But it was a crazy experience. Once again, a lot of yelling. But Naveed, the guy who directed it, let us improvise a lot, which I didn't expect. So we'd get a couple shots, the clear scripted shots, and then he was like, just go. And he was like, and go as crazy as you can. So it was fun to just kind of let loose.
Well, I think it kind of shows a little bit, because even though this particular game has tried to differentiate itself so much from sort of the campy mm-hmm. aspects that most of the Resident Evil games have sort of taken on in recent years, there's still a little bit of that humor in there. Like,
absolutely.
I noticed a few Evil Dead jokes. Oh, yeah. I caught on to that chainsaw humor.
Absolutely. Very fun.
So I imagine you guys definitely had something to do with that.
Oh, I mean, the script was amazing. So some of those jokes were in there, but a lot of we got the script from the Japanese creators from Capcom. So we had to translate some of it, because when we got it and it was translated in English, sometimes it didn't make sense. So we had to kind of, like, work around that. And but they're so smart and they're so good at their job that it was really fun just to play with what was already there.
Now, when you got to actually see how the development of the game was progressing, what did you think of Marguerite's character design? Because she goes from being just kind of a freaky, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre sort of character to something quite monstrous and really grotesque.
It was, so we did a lot of the voiceover for the monster in a booth. And I got to see, like, very rudimentary design. And they were like, okay, this is her really long arms are coming out. And now you need to scream like you're a scary bug. And I'm like, what is that? And once again, I lost my voice, because this was hours of me just, like, going, this is what I think a bug would scream like.
So,
yeah.
At any point were they like, how do you feel about hornets? Like, not good. Opposite of good.
I absolutely hate them. Actually, I'm very scared of bees in real life. So when I was told that, I was like, no.
Yeah. No. I don't mind bees so much, because for the most part, they'll leave you alone. Hornets are just mean. No, those guys are just jerks.
They're stupid jerks. And they fly out of my skirt. So someone was like, I figured out how to beat you, and it's just shoot you in the crotch with a gun. And I was like, and it was a tweet, and I was like, that's, I really want my mom to read that. I'm going to make it a card for her. Like, dear mom.
Send it, make it an e-card.
Yes. It's got like a little beautiful gif. Flowers and a bunny that hops by.
It's just a gif of that over and over again.
She would.
Oh, that would be the worst. but with Marguerite, talking about the motion capture, you said you've done that before, but I imagine this one was a little bit more intense in terms of the amount of physicality going into it.
And there's a technical aspect that I didn't really think about when moving so much. And so if I'm, you know, have my lines 100% and it was really dramatic scenes, but if a sensor flies off, we have to stop. Oh. And then it's kind of like I'm going to use all the wrong vocabulary, but you kind of have to like reboot it up and everyone has to stand in a T pose and prepare themselves. So I had to plan around those long moments of silence and like getting ready to be able to get back into this really murderous, hyped up like feeling. And it was difficult. So it took a while for me to get used to that. But after I did, it was easy. And everyone, like all the other cast members were incredibly fun and so we had a great time. It was a lot of screaming. A lot of screaming, a lot of murder.
Would you ever want to be in, obviously, not to give any spoilers away for the end of this game, but would you ever want to come back to the Resident Evil franchise?
Absolutely. The people at House of Moves, that's where we do the motion capture, are incredible. And like I said, I love horror genre. I remember sneaking Tales from the Crypt VHS from my friend's house, sneaking into my house, waiting till my mom fell asleep and watching it and scaring myself so much. And so just to be and that's why it was great to be a part of Z Nation too, is it's what I'm passionate about. And people that I like the most in this world like those things too. And I love to have long conversations about our favorite scary movies. And my boyfriend and I actually do a lot. We do top 10 favorite and we'll just name any category, and we do horror movies a lot because it changes, and we fight. It's great.
There's nothing better than talking about horror movies.
No.
Absolutely not. So, in that sort of vein, what is your favorite scary movie?
Oh, my God. Where are you? No, just kidding.
Where'd she go?
I do love Scream. It's
yes.
It changed my life. I think my favorite scary movie right now, and it is subject to change, is The Descent.
Yes,
it is.
So good.
There's like eight badass women that go climbing in this underground rock and find a new species, and it's just incredible storytelling. And to play any one of those women would be wonderful. I love being covered in blood. I was going there, and I was like, "Wow, I'm going to go there."
Well, Z Nation again. Yeah. It's right at home,
but it's just so badass, and it's an incredible movie. I'm also a big fan of like Ash versus Evil Dead, even though that's not a movie.
So good.
But the Evil Dead franchise, I even like the reboot. I thought it was so metal, like it was so like raining blood.
One of the few horror reboots that actually did a pretty darn good job.
Right? And I just saw Get Out.
I haven't watched it yet.
I won't say a word.
So, but
see it immediately and then tweet to me because we need to discuss.
Sounds awesome. But talking about that, working on Z Nation must have been a lot of fun because not only are you in a zombie action movie where you're actively shooting zombies and like fighting people, but you also become a zombie then.
Yeah.
So you get to run the full gamut.
I got to run the full gamut. It was very, very fun. I got to actually rip someone's guts out. And
with your bare hands.
With my bare hands and rip someone's face off. Reading that in the script too, I was just like, I just want to tell everyone. These are dreams coming true. And it was, we only filmed that scene twice because they didn't have a lot of guts. But then like picking them back up and giving them to me. And I was like, let's put them back.
Just going to put that. Like, you're fine. You're fine. Yay. It's all right. It's right there. It's right. So we talked about you coming back to the show as like a pie in the sky sort of scenario. But if Serena were to come back in a particular capacity, in your mind, what is the ideal way Serena would come back?
I would love for her to come back as hunting for her daughter and as almost a villain hunting for Murphy, because she did give birth to his baby and has his Murphy, here we go, his Murphy juices all up in her. And to be able to, that must have some regenerative properties, make her super strong. I would love to be deformed in some way, like crazy, like my arms cut off. I don't care. I think it would be cool for her to come back, lead a pack of zombies to Murphy, and have an epic, like Lord of the Rings style Game of Thrones battle.
I was going to say, there's a comparison I'm really trying hard not to make.
Okay.
Because it's spoilers for people who haven't read a certain book series. So I will keep my mouth shut on that. But we'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll talk later. We have many conversations that have to happen off this camera.
Off the record. Now, no one's listening. we've talked about Z Nation, we've talked about Resident Evil. There's another film that's coming up that I actually do want to talk to you about, because one of the things that gets showcased at South by Southwest is not only video games, but films as well. And we have one coming up called Lane 1974.
I know.
Or is it 1974?
It's 1974. So that's when it takes place. And this is nothing like the last two things we talked about.
Shift gears a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. My character is an earth mother. She's a hippie. She lives in a commune.
Sounds pretty similar, actually, right now.
You're right, except she's very kind and not crazy. And the story is based around a mother and daughter. Hallelujah, played by Catherine Menning from Ray Donovan and The L Word, and Lane, played by this incredible young actress named Sophia. There are many times that I've seen her act and I started crying. Like, I was off stage and I was like, she's so good. And it's them wanting to get off the grid and move from commune to commune. And Hallelujah's character is just really horrible to her daughter and just kind of a narcissist. And it's examining this relationship between these two people. And I am one of Hallelujah's friends named Clarice. And I'm kind of one of the only people that give her a chance. I got to drive a bus, like a 70s bus, which was really exciting. I had a few kids in the film. There's no father figure. And we just kind of travel in this bus together and take care of these children and live off the grid and eat from the earth. And it was just... It was a really beautiful, and the story is really beautiful. It's this relationship where sometimes you don't get along with your family, and that's okay, and finding yourself. We had to shoot a lot on the beach, which I've never done. I had to run into the ocean in my clothes.
That sounds awesome. Like,
which was really incredible, and shooting sunset on a beach, pretending you're... like living in a convent, and they didn't want me to wash my hair, or I like to wear false eyelashes. I had to take those off. So I just look, it was really wonderful to strip away all those comforts that I'm used to, like washing your hair and putting on makeup. I did wear deodorant. So, but it was fun to go there. And we actually went up to SJ, who's the director, and she wrote the screenplay as well, which is based on a book, Hypocrisy of Disco. And we got to stay at her mom's commune.
Like, wow.
She grew up in this kind of environment in the 70s, group living. And so for a couple of days, I got to stay, watch people garden, like really like in this experience that is nothing like I've ever experienced. So it's really going to be a beautiful film and heartbreaking, which is so different from what I'm used to doing.
It's a little bit different because you talked about a love of playing these larger than life characters, whereas Clarice seems a lot more subdued and a lot more grounded.
Yeah.
And so what was it difficult to sort of make that change?
Not in the fact that, like, with Serena and with Clarice, they each had a very similar through line, which is love for their family. And they're both mama lions, will do anything for their family. And that was kind of where I went with Clarice. She took Hallelujah on as a chosen family, and Lane and all of her children. And, you know, something happens where it goes a little too far and they have to part ways. But, and with Serena too, even her last moments where she's alive is fighting for her child. So, you know, and I'm extremely loyal to my family and to my chosen family. I've my two best friends. They are I spend every Christmas with them because they are my chosen family. So that's where I found the connection with people I love and my dog. I love my dog.
And it sounds... Oh, your dog is so cute. For anybody who hasn't... Follow her on Instagram. She sends pictures of her dog.
I try not to. But I don't care anymore. I was like, people don't want to see him now.
Life's too short to care, honestly.
He's my best friend. So anyway, what were you going to ask?
He's too adorable. It sounds, again, like this was a very personal story to the director.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to know, did you draw from any particular life experiences when you were sort of crafting this character?
Yeah, I drew a lot from SJ. She is such a passionate woman and an incredible storyteller, and I knew her from Seattle theater community a little bit, but getting to know her and her love of her family, also just like I was saying, I lost my dad a couple years ago, and there's some loss in the film, and just kind of thinking back to those moments when I experienced them in the scene, and that's kind of where I grab from, because I'm so loyal to my family, and I just love them so much. So just using them and looking into someone else's eyes and seeing my dad or Ruben. There was my son in the film is the cutest little boy that I've ever seen in my life. And he has big puppy dog eyes. And there's a point where I'm carrying him and looking in his eyes, and I'm sobbing because he's so cute.
They're like, Sarah, we don't actually need you to cry for this scene.
They didn't, but they were like, that was so great. And I was like, he's just so cute. That's kind of where I would grab inspiration. But it was lovely to work on something deeper. And not that, you know, Z Nation's not deep, but it's to really dive into these real life situations and semi-true story, and it's based on a memoir, so it was interesting to find that. That's was a new experience for me.
Yeah, love the horror genre, but there is a lot of value to be had from coming of age stories, and especially journey stories where you're. I'm particularly drawn to stories where characters are literally just trying to get from point A to point B. And it sounds like that's what Lane's trying to do. She's trying to find her place as she goes from point A to point B.
Because, and this, a little similar to my stories, I never felt growing up like I fit in where I was. I always felt like an outsider in my life or watching. I had great friends growing up, but I never felt like this is where I was supposed to be, because I wanted to tell so many stories and experience so many things. It never felt right. So reading the script and watching Lane's story, she doesn't fit in where she is. She wants more. And that's, so many people can relate to that, like wanting more with their life and not really knowing tangibly what it is, but continuously searching for it.
So kind of in that same vein, a lot of people clearly who are fans of your previous work, they look up to you. Do you have any words of advice for any aspiring entertainers out there, people who are looking to tell their own stories?
Absolutely. I would say don't stop. Because even before, you know, I think my first like big thing I did was the movie Laggies with Keira Knightley. Like even before that, it was 12 years of theater and small YouTube videos and just creating as much as possible and not waiting for someone to give you something to create and just staying as positive as possible, because it's going to be hard. You're going to be told no all the time. Constantly. I was once told, Sarah, there's no 30-year-olds in Hollywood. You're not going to work for 10 years. And I was
like, oh my gosh.
Yes, I am. And I'm really good at my job. So, and then I didn't sign with that manager. So it's kind of one of these things where you just have to almost believe in yourself too much. Like, I have never wanted to do anything else, and I'm not ever going to do anything else because this is what I'm supposed to do. So, you know what? Just create and tweet me, and we'll create something together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So to get back to Lane 1974, South by Southwest, that's yes. when it's premiering. Is there a premiere date?
Yes. The January, February, March. March 11th. Yes. At South by Southwest. I think it's like at 11:45 in the afternoon, something like that. But
that's awesome.
And then it has two other dates that weekend where it's screening. So
are you going to be able to go to the
yes,
premiere?
Yes, I'm going. I'm so excited. I've never been to Austin. I can't wait.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Is it? Oh, you have to tell me after this once again, all the places to go.
Off the record.
So I'm just really excited to experience the festival in any way I can, represent the film, hang out with the people from that worked on the film because they are so lovely and so kind. That's what happens when you work on movies or TV, is you become, you have little mini families everywhere, and you're like, there you are, I missed you so much, because you experience so much emotion in a, such a small period of time. It's like lots of middle school.
every screening is like a little mini family reunion.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait.
So I think we still got some time. What do you think is the most challenging aspect of having worked on this film?
I would say just kind of where we were shooting. There were very long days on the beach. It was just really strenuous on our bodies, where we, because we were shooting in so many crazy locations, and it's, you know, a SAG low budget film, so, you know, we're getting paid, but it's not like a blockbuster. So they're like, Sarah, here's your your room. It's in a bush. Like, here's a chair in a bush. So it's really working together and getting through these very emotional scenes out of the comfort of your own home. You know, we were all staying together in this cool commune. So it was just kind of difficult on my body. I was very tired when I got home. I remember after I film things, I always sleep for like 2 days. I'm like, because I'm so mentally and physically exhausted that I'm like, bye.
Well, and if you're out there in the elements, like in the sun for 14 hours,
on the beach, it really, and then it would get freezing, and then I'm jumping in and out of the water, and it was just, so it was very, I didn't expect it to be so difficult on my body. My boyfriend's very nice, though. After I come home from any shoot, I'll sleep, and he'll lay, like, chicken strips in front of me, and I'll grab them in my sleep and eat them so many times. Or, like, if I ever get good news, like, really good news, my body can't handle it. Like, if I ever book something big, my body's like, oh, what? And then I just fall asleep.
It just shuts down.
It's the opposite. It shuts down. And he'll, like, just place food in front of me, and I'll be like, yes, thank you. It's very weird.
But it goes into energy saving mode and then just runs on autopilot.
That's exactly what happens. I'll change the channel. I'm not watching it. I'll like watch whole series of shows. I'll eat a full meal in my sleep because I'm so stressed out. Oh, gosh.
Oh, but it's always worth it. It's always rewarding,
absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
And especially because I moved from Seattle to Los Angeles and having so much more opportunity here, it's like Los Angeles is buzzing with creativity and anything can happen at any moment. So I'm getting used to that experience and auditioning all the time. And so it's definitely rewarding and I wouldn't, you know, change it for the world. I love it so much.
Well, we love having you. It's so much fun. So, again, can't wait for this film to be, after its premiere, is it going to be available in limited release?
My guess, if I were to guess, I have no clue, this might not be true, but it'll be on some sort of streaming or, you know, it might be picked up by theaters. We don't know. I think this is when everyone will see it and hopefully it'll get purchased. And I mean, Kate Menning, who was on The L Word and Ray Donovan, and her and I became really good friends. She's one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. She's so good. And I always admired her. So meeting her on set, our first meeting, I had to scream in her face for a really long time. And so we had a moment. We're like, okay, we can do this. So hopefully, you know, we'll see more from SJ after this film and more from Seattle women directors. There's so many coming
up. Is this her first feature?
It's her first feature.
That's incredible.
This size. I believe she's done some other work. I believe they're shorts, but she's beyond talented.
This is her first feature length. Yes. That's incredible.
And blood, sweat, and tears that woman has put into this. She is incredible.
No, I can't wait until it's available. For those of you guys going to South by Southwest, be sure to check it out. It sounds absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'll be Instagram storying. Is that how we always say it? The whole time?
You know,
and so you'll see my experience.
I actually haven't posted a story yet. I don't know how that function works.
I do. I don't know how Snapchat works. I can give myself a great filter, but I don't understand the rest of it. I literally called my niece and I'm like, Snapchat. It's important that I learn. She was like, no.
It's hard to keep up. It really is.
There's so many things.
But again, the plus side of all that is talking about creativity. Mm-hmm. There are all these avenues to create creative
content. Absolutely. Constantly. And like if you you were saying, like, what else can you do? Like, take an acting class, go to, like, improv is one of my favorite things in the world. In UCB, there's, in different cities, you can go study improv. It's so silly. It's just playing. It's just playing with your friends. So, I mean, it's, that's what would be my suggestion for people.
Talking about mentoring others, yeah. What do you think is the most meaningful bit of advice that you've gotten throughout your career as you were learning?
Oh, my gosh. I think it would probably be one teacher told me to leave my brain at the door, in the sense that leave what anyone else will think about me or worry about how I look. Leave it at the door and don't be afraid to be ugly. That was, because that was always at the beginning. I was like, oh, I can't do that because I will make weird faces. And like a director told me once, your face is so gummy. I'm like, what does that mean?
What? Thank you.
Thank you so much. And but then I learned to harness that, because a lot of people don't go into auditions prepared to look really weird. And yeah. So it's just kind of exploring those parts that embarrass you and then using them for your benefit, I would say. So just kind of like leaving your brain at the door and go for it 100%. And they can always pull you back. I go to an audition and I'm waiting. I go preparing for them to pull me back. So at least they know that I got the ra-cha-cha.
Nobody ever paid to see Under the Top.
No.
No. No. Not at all.
That's my new favorite piece of advice. Now, if you ask me that question again, I would be like, nobody ever paid to see Under the Top.
So, Sarah, what is the most meaningful piece of advice that you've ever received?
Let's time travel back 5 seconds. And you told me that nobody ever paid to see Under the Top.
Wise words.
Wise words.
I actually stole that from another director, so good. I can't even take credit.
Take credit for it.
100%. And I said
Another piece of advice that I believe my mom gave it to me, and she was like, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness, which I kind of use in my life when I'm worried, like, should I email this person to see if they want to work together, or is that weird? Should I do it? And I just end up saying, just do it.
Yeah.
And if it's weird, say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I'm sorry, I'll never ask again. Bye.
Yeah, right? Oh, didn't
until
mean to.
10 minutes from now when I ask about a different thing.
Yeah, someone stole my phone. I don't know how that goes. Oops.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about all of these exciting projects. I can't wait any longer. I need to start digging into this. Do you have any other projects that you can tell us about? I know when things are in development and when there are NDAs involved, it's kind of hard because you couldn't talk about Resident Evil for about a year and a half.
You've so long. And people are like, what are you doing? Are you working on anything? I was like, yeah, I'm working on a thing
I can't tell you about.
It's so weird, but I can't.
Maybe if I blink it to you in Morse code. does that violate an NDA?
Yes. No. You know, I didn't see that clause in the NDA. I have a web series coming out that the Kickstarter is launching soon.
That's exciting.
It's called Language Academy. I don't really know how much more I can tell you about it, but there's some really funny comedians in it. And working on it was a blast, and it's a producer friend of mine that got me the gig, so we look out for that. And, you know, there's just a lot coming that I also, some things I can't talk about. So,
and that's on Kickstarter?
That's going to be on Kickstarter. I'll if you follow me on Twitter, I'll let everyone know when that launches.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Where can people go if they want to keep up with you and all your projects?
I'm on Twitter at SLCoates, SLCoates. Instagram at Scoatesy, so it's kind of the same, at SCoatesy, and that's Facebook as well. And my dog has an Instagram. It's at Ruben Wrinkles. It's spelled like the sandwich. R-E-U-B-E-N. And that's just, he likes to sing. It's very weird. And he's been doing it since he was a baby, but it sounds like a baby screaming in like different pitches. It's like, but it's him singing. It's very weird. They call it a Frenchie chirp. Apparently it's a thing, but I video him doing it constantly.
Sounds like he's doing like a vocal warm-up.
It's beautiful. Aww. My neighbors will go, oh, Ruben was singing earlier. And I'm like, okay, please don't tell the landlord. He's so great. We go on lots of adventures. So
he's a super, super cute dog.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, I'll bring him next time. I promise.
Please do. But yes, thank you so, so much for taking the time to come in today. It was such a treat having you. It always is.
It's
always
the best. So much fun. I feel like I'm just hanging out with a fellow golden girl.
Which one am I?
Yeah, which one? Ooh,
that's a good question.
They're all so good. You know, I feel like we are all a bit of all of them.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. And I would like to say I'm Betty White, but no one's as cool as Betty White. No, there's only one.
That's why I didn't
say
it either.
That's more like goals.
Yes.
Hashtag goals.
She's goals. Like we're the rest of them.
That sounds about right. But again, cannot say thank you enough.
Thank
it's always
you.
Such
thank
a
you
treat.
For having me. I loved it so much. And tweet at me about Z Nation, whatever, what you ate for breakfast.
Yes.
I love to chat on
the internet. Keeping our fingers crossed that some of those pitches for Serena's characters come true. Carl, I hope you're watching.
Carl. I will.
Carl, Michael, guys.
Yeah, come on. David Latt, sir.
No.
We can have some words. We'll sit here and brainstorm. It'll
I'll
be
write
fun.
Write some strongly worded emails and then apologize later.
That sounds awesome. Well, again, thank you so, so much. And thank you guys for watching. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including the Z Nation After Show. And if you want to hear me try to act, I am also doing voiceover on a fan-made revival of The Shadow. So check that out on YouTube. And also, guys, just if you haven't already done so, please go to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep the lights on, keeps us at these fancy desks. So thank you guys so, so much for doing that. Sarah, again, thank you so much
Have
for
the best
time. In.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you for watching.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.